Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Scott Bradshaw. Scott's with the Fish Brothers. How long have you been in business doing smoked fish, Scott?
Since 1984, where I started, sort of out of my backyard. I had a chest freezer outside a little place I rented in Trinidad. It's, quite a bit different than what it is today.
Uh-huh. Now, is there a brother that was involved in the business with you? Is that how the name came about?
No, actually, the Fish Brothers name came about from Dennis Rael from Los Bagels, and a mutual friend of ours came up with the Fish Brothers name and logo as a way to purchase smoked fish for Los Bagels originally, and they ended up just not doing anything with the name and the logo, so I acquired it from them. They essentially gave it to me.
Okay.
And I started a smoked fish company with it back in 1984.
Had you been in the fishing industry before, or how did you kind of end up in that position?
Well, I started out in this little house in Trinidad where I started it. My roommate at the time was a commercial fisherman. And I always knew since I was a kid that I kind of wanted to have my own business and not really work for anyone else. So my roommate at the time, the commercial fisherman, said, I know where to get some fish. We should smoke some fish and sell it. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And then another friend worked at the Arcata Co-op at the time, and he knew about selling to grocery stores. So the three of us got together, started Fish Brothers, and started selling it just locally to the co-op, a couple local stores at the time. And then we took a few trips down to the Bay Area and sold to a few stores along 101. And it was very small. I mean, literally, 10, 20, 30-pound batches, some very small batches at the time.
You say that you specialize in small batch smoking. What's a small batch for you now that you've moved into your own facility that you're in now?
Each batch right now varies from a finished smoked weight about 100 to 200 pounds.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that's small batch compared to a lot of the people out there doing a lot more, a lot larger batches.
I imagine you lose a lot of weight in the smoking process. It's kind of a dehydration that goes on?
Sure, sure. Yeah. It's smoked and dried at the same time, and typically you get about half of your fish back from a whole fish.
And did you learn from just kind of trial and error, or did you read up books on smoking, or how did you first figure that out?
Yeah, originally when we first started out, I didn't know anything about smoking. So we took our first batches of fish to the local smoker in Trinidad, and they actually did the filleting and smoking and all that. And I just kind of watched them, and they were amenable to that. And I sort of learned the process from them. And it's a fairly simple process, so it wasn't that much to learn.
And you do a lot of salmon smoking. Is there a type of salmon that's best for smoking?
There are 5 species of salmon, some of which work better due to their oil content. And if they're higher in oil content, usually it'll make a moister product. The best species, I think, by far is the king salmon, which fortunately we can get off our coast here. It also is found up as far north as Alaska and and Russia and places like that. But king salmon is usually, especially off the California coast, are oilier and make a much nicer product than most of the other salmons you can find.
And what other types of salmon do you use?
Well, we use sockeye salmon, which you don't find around here too much. They're mostly up in Alaska. And that makes a nice hot smoked product as well as a good cold smoked. There are 2 types of salmon processing, and one is hot smoked, which is fully cooked, and one is cold smoked, which most people think of as lox, which looks kind of raw, but it's cured with salt, but it's never heated or cooked.
Could you describe the cold smoking process kind of from beginning to end?
Sure. How we do it is we'll take a fresh fillet of salmon and cover it with salt. And usually, depending on the thickness of the fish, anywhere from, 5-6 hours to overnight, 14-16 hours. And that the salt will work its way through the flesh, and that helps preserve it. And then we will put it in the smoking oven, but without heat. So the heat will be removed from where the salmon is. So the smoke will come through the tubing of the smokehouse, but no heat will. So it gets the smoke flavor without cooking the fish.
And then you just keep it cold all the way through the packaging process.
We keep it cold through the packaging process, and then we vacuum package it, which helps preserve it additionally.
Now, the hot smoking process, how does that work?
The hot smoking process, you're essentially smoking it and cooking it simultaneously. So it starts off with kind of a slow smoking and heating. That you put the heater at maybe 120, 130 degrees, so it's not very hot, but it cooks it very slowly, and it allows it to absorb the smoke flavor. And then to finish it up and, you know, process it safely, you have to turn the heat up to 180, 190 Fahrenheit to, you know, kill all the bacteria and make a safe product at the
and
end.
Then you get the internal temperature up.
You get the internal temperature up above 145 for at least 30 minutes, which is per FDA requirements.
Okay. Now, brining, some people talk about brining fish. Is that important? And what sort of a role does that play in the fish preservation?
Yeah, fish preservation, salt is the, you know, key ingredient to preservation, as well as smoke. Smoke does help preserve it too. But in brining, like in dry salting, the salty water, the salt will work its way through the flesh of the fish and preserve it that way. And salt will inhibit bacterial growth and give it some more shelf life and also give it a lot of flavor, too, which you really need with smoked fish. You need some salty flavor because that makes smoked fish what it is.
Now, what type of wood do you use to smoke, and is that important in the process?
Yeah, there's a few different types of wood you can use. Locally, we have alder, which is a great smoking wood, and hickory is another one that people know about. You can also use, you know, cherry wood, apple wood, a bunch of different ones. We use hickory. We used to use alder because it's a local product, but we could not find anyone to produce the right size chip for our smokehouses. So we use hickory now, and it's a very similar flavor to alder.
Okay. Now, I've made lox at home, and it's just very difficult to get those nice cuts of salmon. How do you do that?
So you're looking for some trade secrets here, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay.
Share.
All right. So I'll give you the lowdown on that. So what you'll do is, you know, depending on the size of your fish, say you have a fillet that's 2 pounds. It's a 2-pound fillet. So you'll probably, depending on the type of salmon, if it's a king salmon and you have a 2-pound fillet, you'll probably salt it for maybe 8 to 10 hours. Okay. Just cover it with salt, you know, table salt, kind of fine-grained kind of salt. And then you'll, after 8 to 10 hours, you'll remove the salt. And then the hard part is removing your heat source from your smoke. So if you have a long tube, say, and you can get the smoke into where your chamber where you're smoking the fish without heating it up above, you know, room temperature, 70, 80 degrees, say, then you'll be fine for cold smoking. You could do that for several hours. Then you can slice it by hand, remove the skin, and there's some dark meat on the bottom, and then you can slice it by hand. What we have is a slicing machine, and it's a machine specifically designed for slicing smoked salmon. That's all it does.
Okay.
And it's kind of an expensive machine.
I was going to say, probably nothing, a volume I'm doing, I don't think
nothing
I'm
you would
that
use
machine.
At home. It's, okay. It's kind of expensive. And it works on unfrozen fresh smoked salmon. You could also freeze your salmon and put it on like a deli slicer, something
okay.
like that. That's not
I hadn't
so
thought
expensive.
Of that.
Yeah. You
okay.
do it that way as well.
Now, you also, you do some custom smoking. So if I brought my king salmon into you, you would smoke it for me.
Yes. A lot of sport fishermen who don't smoke their own fish will bring it to us, and we will smoke it for them and vacuum package it, and then they can, you know, enjoy it that way and freeze it. You know, if they have a lot of fish, they can preserve it and keep it in their freezer for a year or longer.
And you also do some private label smoking. Is that quite a big business for you to do
that?
Yeah,
we do a little bit of private labeling, and we'll do it for people. We won't put our label on it, and they will either put their own label on it, or say we do a smoked tuna for a customer, and they will chop it up and put it in a spread, like a cream cheese spread, and put it under their label. So it's not a smoked fish per se, it's a smoked fish spread or something like that.
Okay. And where are you located? Where's your business at?
We're in the Blue Lake Industrial Park.
Okay. And where can people buy your product?
You can buy our product at most local grocery stores, and around the western U.S., a lot of natural food stores have our product because it's an all-natural product we make. And locally, you know, Wildberries, Co-op, Safeway, Winco, most local stores.
Well, this was really interesting learning about smoked salmon here on the North Coast. And I've been talking with Scott Bradshaw with Fish Brothers. Thank you so much, Scott.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.